Welcome to the Sportscast, November 16th, 2018. The NFL going into the latter part of the year. Thanksgiving is coming up next week, so these are the games before Thanksgiving week. And Monday night, big, big game. Maybe the two best teams in the NFL right now, the Chiefs and the Rams, square off at the L.A. Coliseum this Monday. Actually, they were supposed to meet at supposed to play in Mexico City, but the stadium got really torn down. So to talk to us a little bit about that is Jeff Farr. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Thanks, Santiago. Always glad to be here.
So, Jeff, big game this Monday.
So,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, it's funny because I do think, obviously, there will be a lot of points scored because you have the two best offenses in the NFL, or two of the best. The Saints are right there, too. Maybe even the Steelers are coming on. But, you know, I think there's just enough playmakers on both defenses that maybe it won't be quite the crazy shootout that we're expecting, because a lot of times when you really, really high over-under lines, you know, the defenses tend to take a little bit of pride and play a little better than we expect.
Now, do you think the Rams have the home field advantage, or do you don't think the home field will be a big issue? Because, you know, the LA Rams games are not packed out, and there's a lot of away fans that go. Like, how do you view the venue?
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting because the Rams are actually staying in Colorado because they were preparing for the high elevation of Mexico City. To be blunt, you know, I'll be curious to see myself how much home field plays into it. You know, the reality of it is home field matters, but the better team usually plays better. And I know that sounds a little bit like a dumb statement, but that's the reality of it. You know, regardless of where you play, the better team plays better. The thing that I don't think is being talked about enough, so if both teams went into this completely healthy, I think it's a pretty even matchup. And both teams are missing some key guys. But the Rams losing Cooper Kupp is a bigger deal than what I think is being made of it. And I know the Chiefs could potentially be missing Sammy Watkins. He didn't practice today. But generally speaking, the Chiefs have erred on the side of caution with injuries. I think he'll play. But the first game after you lose a big player is tough. And the Rams just lost Cooper Kupp last week. So if you're looking for one thing that could potentially play a big role in this game that I don't think is getting talked about, that's the one that I look at. The Chiefs' offensive line has been beat up, but they've had a couple weeks to prepare for that. And Eric Berry's been out the entire season, but they've been working through that. I just think that the Rams having this injury and then having the Chiefs have to play the Chiefs the next week, I think that's going to hurt the Rams. I think they're going to miss him.
Who do you think is a better quarterback, Goff or Mahomes?
I think Mahomes is the better playmaker. I think both quarterbacks are great. But the thing with Goff is I think Goff relies a little bit more on his surroundings. And with Mahomes, even when the plays break down, Mahomes can really hurt you outside the pocket. Mahomes has really played well under pressure. With Goff, you know, I think when things break down, Goff gets a little bit more erratic. And that's not to say he's terrible under pressure. That's not to say he's bad. But Mahomes has made some of these big-time throws under the gun. With Jared Goff, if you get him out of rhythm, he's not the same guy. So I would take, if you put the same offensive line and the same weapons around both guys, I'm going to take Patrick Mahomes over Jared Goff.
And Mahomes said this week that he likes ketchup on his macaroni and cheese, and I think if he reaches 50 touchdown passes by the end of the season, Hines will give him a supply of ketchup for the rest of his life.
Yeah, so it's actually, they said 57 touchdowns because they apparently have 57 ingredients in their ketchup. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I love Mahomes, but I think 57 is a stretch.
You don't think it's possible?
Playing the Raiders twice. I mean, it's possible because they still play the Raiders twice. And
that's a good time to reach those goals.
Yeah, but I don't think it. First of all, depending on how the rest of the season goes, one of those games is Week 17, and they may not even. Depending on how the Patriots and Steelers keep up, you may be in a position to rest your starters. So I don't even know. Now the other side of that is one of those games is against Baltimore, and Baltimore is a really tough defense.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it all plays out. I mean, 57 is a gigantic number. That's tough to do.
Has anyone reached that record?
No, 57 would be the record. Peyton Manning has the record right now.
With which is how much? Like 51?
I want to say it's 52 or 54, but off the top of my head, I'm not sure.
Wow, that might be close. Yeah, Peyton would be the guy that would do that.
I mean, this is year one for Mahomes, so we haven't seen the best of him yet.
In other news, Le'Veon Bell did not show up to the team practice. What are your thoughts about that? Is that something that... Yeah, what are your thoughts about that?
I thought the Steelers offered him a really fair contract. When you take into account that Le'Veon Bell's been suspended multiple times, he's had a season-ending injury before, so... Me personally, I thought the Steelers played this correctly. And when you look at it historically, the Steelers are not a team that you really want to mess with in these scenarios. At the same time, you know, if Le'Veon Bell's trying to set a precedent that, you know, playmakers get paid more regardless of position, I can certainly appreciate that. But the shame of it is, Le'Veon Bell isn't going to make that money back that he lost. And from the Steelers' perspective, you know, James Conner has had a great year. I don't want to say anything disparaging about him. But in sports, we follow the bouncing red ball, and Le'Veon Bell is still a unique talent. Le'Veon Bell is still a great player. And at some point, whether it's late in the season or whether it's in the playoffs, the Steelers are going to miss Le'Veon Bell. I mean, that's just the reality of it.
Yeah, it's going to be a quiet difference. Connor has been doing good this season so far to replace Le'Veon Bell. But yeah, we'll see what team he'll go to next year. Any predictions on that?
I think Le'Veon Bell. I think the no-brainer move. He ends up with the Jets. You know, the Jets have something like $108 million in cap space, and people talk about fit, and they talk about the best offense, and going to a competitor or somebody that's a title contender, none of that matters. I mean, really, Le'Veon Bell is going to go to the team that gives him the most money, and that's it, you know. And when you have $108 million in cap space, they're going to be able to pay him whatever he wants.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. He has a few months to try to figure that one out. Last night's game, the Seahawks defeated the Green Bay Packers 27-24. It felt like, you know, if one of these teams lose, they're pretty much done for the season. How did you view last night's game?
I was disappointed that McCarthy wasn't more aggressive at the end. You know, on the 4th-and-2 play, your defense has been obliterated by injuries. They haven't been stopping Seattle. I don't think you can punt it back there. And look, I understand if you don't get the 4th-and-2, it's pretty much over. And I understand that. But you have Aaron Rodgers. On that 3rd-and-2 play, Aaron Rodgers just made a brutal throw. So, some people would look at that and say, see, Rodgers made a bad throw. I look at that and I say, what are the odds he throws two in a row? You know, Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. Got to trust him in that situation. I just didn't think the Packers played all that well in the second half. I was surprised they didn't challenge the catch, the deep ball that that set up the Seahawks' last touchdown. You know, I understand they only had one timeout left, but I just don't know. When I watch the Packers, it's a hard thing to quantify because I think they have a lot of good individual players. I think Aaron Rodgers is still as good as it gets. They still have explosive playmakers. They still have pass rushers on defense. They have the young corners on defense that play well. But at the end of the, you know, the last three out of the last four games, it just feels like they just don't make enough plays when it matters. And sometimes it's the offense, sometimes it's the defense. But with all that said, they're not out of it. You know, you look at the NFC North, and the Bears and Vikings aren't necessarily pulling away. So I still think the Packers have a chance, but they're going to really have to play a lot better down the stretch.
Do you think Mike McCarthy might be done if he doesn't do well after the season?
I think unless he makes a heck of a playoff run, I think he's in trouble. It's not to say it's all his fault. I think he's a good coach, but when you have either the best or the maybe the second best quarterback in the NFL, and you're 4-5, I believe they're 4-5-1 now. Unfortunately, the reality is you just have to be able to get more out of your team. Quarterback is so important, and the Packers have one of the absolute best, and they're just not getting enough out of their team when you consider that they have that great advantage.
Yeah, it's a situation where they have one of the best quarterbacks, and it feels like this year was wasted, you know. And obviously, he had like a little bit of a knee knock, but came back and is performing well. But it's just like the play calling and things like that are just not, you know, really doing well. But yeah, how do you view the New Orleans Saints? Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
All I was going to say is the Packers don't do anything to make offense easy. Yeah. If you watch a Sean McVay offense, you watch an Andy Reid offense, you know, they use motion. They use a lot of varied formations. They do a lot of things to make life easier on both the receivers and the quarterback. You don't see much creativity coming out of Green Bay.
Yeah. Devontae Adams and Jones, it feels like it's not enough. And I guess like the whole Jordy Nelson move kind of affected them as well psychologically. What do you view about the New Orleans Saints? It feels like the Saints are a contender now. I mean, they beat like the Rams last week. So do you think this team could go, could possibly go deep?
I'll say this. As long as the Saints stay healthy, I have a really tough time not seeing them in the Super Bowl. And the reason I say that is just that nobody wants to go to New Orleans and have to play at New Orleans. And the Saints' balance doesn't get talked about enough. Now, you know, their defense definitely has some holes. Their defense is not great by any means. But when you look at the other top teams, Kansas City's defense isn't great. The Rams' defense isn't great. The Steelers' defense isn't great. The Patriots' defense isn't great. So I feel as though, you know, using defense as an argument is a little bit of a cop-out when you look around the league at the best teams. And what the Saints do well is they're so balanced on offense. They have two running backs that can hurt you in different ways. Mike Thomas is a nightmare to cover. And Drew Brees, obviously, is one of the most equal opportunity passers we've ever seen in the NFL. So he's going to just hit the open guy. Now, my only concern with the Saints is if they play a team that can slow down Mike Thomas, without overly committing to him, that could create some issues. But again, that's easier said than done, because the only team that has a guy like Jalen Ramsey is the Jaguars, and the Jaguars aren't in the NFC, and they're probably not even going to make the playoffs.
Ooh.
So when you look at the NFC, you know what I mean? So you look at the NFC and you say, okay, who are the best corners in the NFC? I mean, I guess if Talib gets healthy for the Rams, he could be a guy that could at least make his life difficult, but Talib's not the guy he was anymore. Marcus Peters hasn't played well. Now you look at the Vikings, and, you know, the Vikings have a potentially great defense, but even they have not played as well as what we expected them to. So the one matchup would maybe be the Vikings, but again, you know, the Vikings have always played much better at home. So are you really going to pick Kirk Cousins to go into New Orleans and outduel Drew Brees?
Don't think so.
I don't know. I mean, the only guy that I think is going to pick that to happen is probably the guy that's wearing one of those helmets with the horns on him. So I don't say that to make fun of the Vikings. I think they're a quality team. But I don't know of any team in the entire NFL that wants to have to go into New Orleans in a playoff game. I just don't see it.
Do you think the Jaguars are out, they're in trouble, or do you think they have time to turn things around?
So, they're in trouble. My biggest worry with the Jaguars is that the reason they were good last year is because they had a dominant defense, and on offense, they could run the ball because they had a really, really good offensive line, and then Bortles could just be a game manager. Now, I know in that Steelers game he put up a bunch of points, but that was still because they dominated the line of scrimmage. What you're seeing now is that the offensive line, it started with their left tackle, Cam Robinson. I think I'm butchering his name. I think it's Cam Robinson, their left tackle, got hurt, and he's a great player. He's playing awesome in the run game and the pass game. And Fournette was banged up. So as the season's gone on, they continue to lose offensive linemen, and they can't control the line of scrimmage on offense. So now what you have is you have Bortles being asked to do more. And when Bortles is asked to do more, we've seen this story 100 times. He's just not the guy. So now the offense isn't pulling its weight. The defense is on the field too much. So the defense is getting worn out. And what happens when you leave your defense on the field too much? Well, then you start to lose players to injury on defense, too. So I don't think the Jags are necessarily out of it, because their division, you know, not to take anything away from the Texans, but I don't, you know, the Texans, I don't think they're going to blow away the division and pull away. The Colts are playing better than we anticipated. But just for the record, the Colts were the team that I said was my surprise wild card team.
Yeah.
Way back when we did the NFL season preview, because Andrew Luck is so good. Andrew Luck is just, he's so, so good, and they fixed the roster a bit. But to answer your original question, sorry.
No, it's okay. No, it's okay.
The Jaguars still have a ton of talent on defense, and if there's one thing, you know, they play the Steelers this week, and I will say, they have to beat the Steelers to keep their season alive.
Yeah.
What we've seen with Mike Tomlin teams is sometimes they go on these really positive runs, but then they play a road game that they should win, and they don't. And when I look at this game, I say the Steelers should win, especially, you know, as banged up as the Jaguars are, especially on offense, the Steelers should win this game. But that's exactly the game that in the past the Steelers have faltered with. And I know I said this last year and it ended up not holding up. I look at the Steelers, how healthy they are, and I'm not wishing injury. I'm not saying that. But it is just stunning how healthy of a team they are. It's unbelievable.
Especially now.
I think at some point, yeah, this late in the year. I just think that the Steelers at some point are going to face some adversity with injuries because they really just haven't yet. And, I mean, I know Shazier. Guys are going to kill me and say, oh, look at, I get it. The Shazier injury was gigantic. But even with that injury, they lost less snaps to injury than any team in the NFL. So, eventually, they're going to face some adversity just because every NFL team does. And if they get some guys banged up this week, the Jaguars might pull the upset.
Right now, who are your top four in the AFC right now?
It's got to be Kansas City, Pittsburgh, New England. And, boy, the fourth one is tough. I mean...
Is it Pittsburgh?
I guess you would have to say... Well, Pittsburgh's second or third.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. You said Pittsburgh.
I think you might have to say it's the Texans.
Wow.
I mean, you know, because the Bengals are falling apart, the Ravens. I mean, I was surprised at how poor the Ravens looked against the Steelers.
Yeah.
I thought that was as bad as the Ravens have looked in a very, very long time. And I understand their offensive line is really beat up. But, you know, Joe Flacco, and maybe this hip injury that was revealed was part of it, but Joe Flacco was brutal in that game.
Yeah.
And I think the way he played had as much to do with Lamar Jackson getting a chance now as the injury. So I think it's the Chiefs, the Steelers, the Patriots, and then I think you have to go the Texans just because at the very least the Texans play up and show quality. They play quality football on a week-to-week basis.
Do you see any significance with the Titans beating the Patriots? Do you see anything, you know, is the Titans that good or they're just playing at home?
I think the Titans' defense is a viable, you know, I think the defense is good. You know, I don't want to take credit away from the Titans. But at the same time, in every sport, but especially in the NFL, we're quick to, when a player starts to decline, we want to bury them and put them in the retirement home. I think that Titans game showed a little bit that even if Gronk is not the Gronk of old, even if he's not the dominant player, he's still really good. You know, he's still important. And the Titans didn't have to worry about Gronk, and they were able to shut everything else down. And really, I think more than anything, what it shows is the Patriots need Gronk to be healthy, and they need home field advantage to really be scary. Because if you make the Patriots go on the road to Pittsburgh or on the road to Kansas City, they're not the same team. The Titans, if we're looking at the long picture or at the long-term view of this season, the Titans' defense is good enough that they could scare somebody, but the Titans' offense is still pretty... their offense is still something that you would have watched in the 80s. You know, it's...
That's how good Jeff is. He remembers the 80s teams.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I look, do you remember their defense isn't as good as the Giants team? But that's kind of what I think of. You know, Mariota is a mid-level quarterback. He can make some plays with his legs. The defense is really good. Now, Corey Davis is nice. I will say that. Corey Davis is nice. But... he can't, you know, when you play the better teams, they're not going to let him just take over the game.
Yeah. From the top four you mentioned, which of those teams would be a good road team during the playoffs?
Pittsburgh's always scary, and the reason they're scary is, so Ben Roethlisberger, over the course of the last couple years, has not played as well on the road, especially in the playoffs. He's you know, statistically, he's actually played some poor playoff road games. But the thing about Ben is, if he gets hot, he's as good as any quarterback in the NFL in the playoffs. You know, he's so you have Antonio Brown and you have James Conner, and you also have an offensive line. The Steelers' offensive line is as physical as any team in the NFL. And when you get into late season football, that really matters. That really matters a lot. So the Steelers are scary. And I'll tell you what, the other team that's, I don't know that the Colts are ready to beat the Steelers or the Patriots or, you know, I hate to say it, the Chiefs, because the Colts have a history of ruining the Chiefs' seasons, but the Colts are another team that I look at, and they're not getting enough credit for how good they are up front. So if you get into an ugly weather game, and you have Andrew Luck, and you have a dominant offensive line, maybe the Colts could be that team to go on the road and upset somebody.
Which they have before. I remember a couple of years ago, they beat Denver in Denver.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you think Andrew Luck is back completely?
No, I don't, but I still think whatever he is right now is still really, really good.
Yeah.
And I think he's only going to continue to get better from, you know, he's only going to continue to get better from this point, and he's not taking the beating that he was. True. Like, you remember these last couple years, he was a pinata back there. Mm-hmm. Well, now he's not. Now he's not getting hit. Now he is staying clean.
Good.
So, I like Andrew Luck a lot, and I think we were too quick to write him off.
Yeah, like the thing is, I think that there was one game this season he was not able to do the deep throw, so they put in Jacoby Brissett. So I guess he can't make deep throws, right?
Yep. Well, and that's only going to continue to come back as the shoulder gets stronger.
Yeah.
You know, that's a time thing. That'll come back. But I think what happens is that we see a quarterback not play well or not be completely healthy early in the year, and we try to just write him off for the entire season. And I think Bears fans would tell you that's what happened with Mitchell Trubisky as well, which I haven't watched him enough to have a thorough opinion. But I think with Andrew Luck, you know, he was out for such a long time with that injury. And early in the year, he didn't necessarily look like himself, so we wanted to write him off. But when I watch him play now, I think he's pretty good. You know, I think he's good enough to scare some teams if they have to play the Colts.
I think he's really good. You know, obviously he was MVP before, and definitely still young, still in his 20s. So the Colts are definitely putting a lot of faith in him. And now we're towards the end of the show. Are you ready for game predictions?
Absolutely.
Let's go for the Buccaneers at the Giants.
Man, you're really giving me the looking forward to the draft bowl here first, huh?
Exactly.
Man, you know, I'll say the Giants because they played a little bit better against the 49ers, got things together a little bit. Saquon Barkley might have a big game against the Bucs.
Jeff? This always happens. I lose them during the game predictions. Wait.
So I think the Giants will win that game.
The Giants win Pittsburgh at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So I gave you that whole spiel about how the Jaguars have to win and
yep.
The Steelers play down to the competition, right? I gave you that whole thing. The Steelers are going to win by 15.
Wow.
I mean, Ben has been playing really well. I think maybe this is the year that the Steelers just get past that mental hurdle. And I also think, so the Steelers are one of these teams, they have a little bit of a swagger to them. And if there is one thing that the Steelers love to do, they love to have these games where they kick somebody when they're down and get their touchdowns. And Antonio Brown gets to talk trash on social media. They love those games. And I think the Steelers will see that the Jaguars are a wounded team, and they'll feel some kind of vindication getting revenge for the Jaguars going in and beating them in Pittsburgh in the playoffs. And even though it's not an even though there's not necessarily a correlation there, because there's a big difference between a playoff game and a regular season game, it'll give the Steelers an excuse to talk some trash and, you know, Antonio Brown to put out the business is booming hashtag and all those things. And I just think the Steelers will use that, and I think they'll win the game by double digits.
Ooh, which that game is going to be good, because usually Jacksonville beats Pittsburgh, but this season is a little bit different because Jacksonville is wounded and they're struggling with the whole running back. Now we know that their offense really dependent on like the running back Fournette, which is a really good running back, but he's not back yet. Next game, Cowboys at the Falcons.
Cowboys big. I think the Falcons are just. I think they're cooked. I think the Falcons are cooked, and I think the Cowboys are. I wouldn't say the Cowboys are playing great, but I think they're starting to play better at the right time, and their offensive line's beat up, but. You know, I watched a lot of that Eagles game, and I thought the thing that the Cowboys did right is they leaned on Ezekiel Elliott a bit. And even though the Cowboys' defense didn't necessarily play great, their pass rush is still good enough to cause some problems for the Falcons. So I think the Cowboys win that game by a touchdown.
Do you think Dallas is back because Amari Cooper, like, if he's on the team, like, you think, like, the whole Cowboys chemistry has gotten better?
I think Cooper helps. I do think Amari Cooper can help them. Mm-hmm. And he's a good player. I think it's a little too soon to say they're back. But I'll tell you this. The Redskins are another team that's really beat up. And when you have Alex Smith as your quarterback, you're going to play a lot of low-scoring games. So don't write off the Cowboys yet. They can still win that division.
Yeah, I really hope the Cowboys do well because they got so much talent. They're young. You know, what we saw 2 years ago, I saw, you know, like how much excitement was that, like with that team. And I really hope they're, you know, they're still in it, which they are. They're still in it, which they can beat Atlanta. It's beatable. So next kind of weird game, Cincinnati at Baltimore.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
I know.
Baltimore is going to be starting. Yeah, Baltimore. If he's healthy, I guess Lamar Jackson missed practice too, but I don't know if he practiced today or not. But if Lamar Jackson's the starting quarterback, the Ravens may get a few plays out of what's the word? They might trick the Bengals a few times early before they catch on. The Bengals' defense is dead last in the NFL. So, on offense, the Bengals are likely to be missing A.J. Green. So, I think the Ravens will handle business in this one. And, you know, the Bengals, ever since they got blown out on Monday Night Football, they just haven't been right. And I'm afraid they're going to free fall a bit. So, I like the Ravens to win.
Denver at the Chargers.
This is an upset. I like Denver. I really do. So the Chargers are kind of this media favorite pick, and the Chargers are good. Look, the Chargers are legitimate. I'm not saying they're not. They're a good team. But they're due for a loss. The Broncos are coming off their bye, and the Broncos, as bad as their record has been, they play teams tough. They really, really do. And Denver's defense is physical, and they're not going to give the Chargers easy plays. And this is a game that I just think the Broncos do just enough, and they're going to win a 20-17 ugly game.
I can see that happening, especially in L.A., which is pretty much a neutral ground, I think. So I could definitely see Denver.
Yeah, it has been.
Yeah, pulling an upset on this one. This is a big game, according to ESPN, Eagles at the Saints.
The Saints. Look, man, I'm not picking against the Saints at home if they're playing the AFC Pro Bowl team. Like, the Saints, the Saints aren't losing a home game, man. And look, the Eagles will put up a fight. The Eagles know how important the game is. They'll come out, they'll fight. Carson Wentz will make some plays. I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout, but the Saints are going to win it. That's just how, you know.
I heard the Eagles have to win to.
They'll win by 10 points.
I heard the Eagles have to win to stay in the in the playoff hunt.
I mean, yes, but at the same time, I keep going back to when you look at the records of the teams in the division, the Eagles still play the Redskins.
Yeah.
So the Redskins aren't going to. The Redskins aren't going to blow away the division. They're not going to pull way ahead. So even if the Eagles lose this game, it's not over. Obviously, it's better if they win, but I don't see it, man. I just don't. The Saints at home are just a monster.
Yeah, you're right. Saints look good. I mean, I know I say this every year because they have Drew Brees, Kamara, but man. And now they have Brandon Marshall, which is not saying much, but I heard this might be his first season making it to the playoffs.
Brandon Marshall can at least make a few catches for you. He always stays in great shape. He's a physical presence. But he was a free agent for 10 weeks for a reason. Ooh. You know? So we shouldn't look into it too much. But at the same time, you can't fault the Saints for overturning every stone to try to be dynamic on offense. Stay dynamic, I should say.
Yeah. Minnesota at Chicago.
I like the Bears just because they're at home, and I think they've been playing well. Trubisky, you know, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I think Trubisky's been playing really well. I'm kind of lukewarm on him just from what I've seen. Now, granted, I don't watch him every single week, so I don't want to say anything poor about him. I think Matt Nagy has done a great job with him, and I really like that he's been creative on offense. The Bears have a nice roster. Just if you look at it top to bottom, offense and defense, the Bears have a lot of quality players. I just think in these division rivalries, having home field advantage matters, and I think the Bears will win in a close game.
The Bears win at home. And finally, the marquee game of the week and of the weekend, Kansas City at the L.A. Rams.
So the thing that scares me about this game, so I'm going to pick the Chiefs, but here's the thing that scares me. The Chiefs' interior offensive line, they're missing their starting center and their starting right guard. And who's going to line up there? Well, Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. Now, the thing that I think gets overlooked, though, is that the Rams don't have a great edge presence, although Fowler definitely helps with that. And the Chiefs' tackles are very, very good. Eric Fisher struggled last week. He had a bad week. But overall, he's been very good this year. The reason I think the Chiefs will do just enough to win is that I think it's going to take a week for the Rams' offense to adjust to not having Cooper Kupp. I think Gurley's going to have a monster game. But I think that Kupp loss, it'll be just enough that it'll mess up a route or two. You know, Goff will not feel comfortable in the pocket a play or two. And an overlooked part of the Chiefs' defense, so nobody's arguing that the Chiefs' defense is great or even necessarily good. But before the game last night, they were tied for the league lead in sacks. So despite the Chiefs' deficiencies, they can hit the quarterback. So I just think that Jared Goff will get flustered a little bit more than Patrick Mahomes, and I think it'll be a 42-35 or a 35-30 type game,
yeah.
And the Chiefs will do just enough to win.
What statement will...
And the Chiefs' special teams is better.
Yeah. Which that, I mean, you could say, you know, whoever wins that game might be the best. So the thing is, you still have the Patriots. So it's between those three. So we can't say, the winner of this game is probably the best team. So.
You still have the Saints, too.
Yeah, the Saints, too. You're right. It's not one game, but it is the... I mean, like, this big game between these two juggernaut teams. So we'll see what happens after Monday night. I'm going to watch it very closely because it's just one of those games. I wish that game was on Thanksgiving, but it'd be a whole different dynamic then.
Definitely.
Anyways, Jeff, how can people reach you on Monday night if the Chiefs win or they lose?
Well, if they lose, you won't be able to. Okay. But I'm just kidding. Either way, best way to follow along is on Twitter, at JT Favre. And as usual, it'll generally be pictures of barbecue talk, and also NFL all the time.
Do you pregame, preview the game before the game? Like, you know, you kind of, like, you know, tweet about, like the game before it starts?
Generally, yeah. I mean, leading up to it, usually a lot of guys on Twitter, there's a lot of great guys to follow along with, too, that I follow along myself, and they do a great job of going in depth. But, yeah, I mean, I'm usually a lot more confident a week before the game than I am the hour before the game. That's just my nature. But yeah, I love it though, man. I can't wait. It'll be a fun matchup.
It should be a good one. Get your coffee ready. It's going to be a late one. Anyways, Jeff, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Thanks for having me, man.